Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask for your presence tonight. We ask that your Holy Spirit rain down on us, Lord. We need that latter rain. We need the former rain. We need the fullness of Christ in each one of us, Father. We need that. We thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to lead us. You're going to show us what to do. You're going to give us all kinds of revelations, Lord, and through your people. And Lord, we thank you for that. We ask for a participation from everybody tonight, Lord. And we thank you for all the prayers that you've answered for us, Lord. It's just been awesome to watch and see the things come true that we prayed for. It's just awesome, Father, and I thank you for that. We love you, Lord, and we want more of you, Father. We want you to fill us completely so that all the darkness can go out of us, Lord, because when the light shines, the darkness has got to go. And, Lord, we thank you for doing that for each one of us. We ask, Lord, that you bring our hearts all close together in love, in your love. Your love is the best kind of love. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us and leading us tonight in all that we do, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Kurt.
Yeah, I've got one if I can go ahead and start it off.
Sure.
I talked with Connie, my youngest daughter, maybe about a half hour ago, and she's really in a lot of trouble. Her husband had to quit work because of the kidney stones that's filled both kidneys, and they were going to do surgery, and they can't do it because his bladder is three times bigger than what it's supposed to be. It's also full of kidney stones. So he's just in a real mess. And so they have, at this point, no income coming in. She can't work because her health is bad. And the only thing she really knows is working in those motels. And there's so many drugs in there, she's afraid that, you know, that she would get caught up in that again. So I told her that I would ask prayer for him tonight. So if everybody can agree with me, please. Lord, you know exactly where they're at. You know what's going on. I believe you've brought them to this place, Lord, at their lowest so that they can cry out to you, Lord. I haven't been praying that they would be brought to their lowest, but I have been praying that they would be brought to you, Lord. So I'm just thanking you that they're reaching out to you, both of them are, and I know he's in a lot of pain in what he's going through, and she can't help him and doesn't know how to help him, but she feels helpless too. So, Lord, I just thank you for reaching your hands down and just connecting with them, Lord, that they'll know that you're there, and they'll have peace that's in you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, it sounds like the Lord's trying to get their attention, Kurt, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
You can meet me.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome. That's what I see. I see him getting their attention, and they're going to come running to the Lord. When they do, they'll get healed, and he'll straighten everything out. Praise God. That is awesome. All right, anyone else have a prayer request? Well, I want to pray. If y'all would agree with me. Lord, I just lift up Michelle to you, my daughter. And, Lord, if this is not where you want them to go in Arizona, I ask, Father, that you shut the doors and close the doors, Father, if that's not where you want them. But if it is, Lord, I thank you that you're going to allow them to go. Father, I know in the past they've moved off and come back, moved off and come back. But I know, Lord, that our prayers are answered. And I just pray, Lord, that you just open up or close the door if it's not where you want them to go. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you work on Jeanette. Work in her heart, Lord, to understand that she needs to be out here. And when she's out here, she'll be healed. Lord, we thank you for that. She has a fear, Lord, and we come against that fear right now in the name of Jesus. And we command it off of her, a fear of change, meeting new people. We command that fear off of her right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you gave us the authority to do that. And I take that authority right now and command fear of change off of Jeanette right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got a praise report they'd like to share?
I've got something, Michael.
Okay, go ahead.
You let me know how my audio is working because I just disconnected my video too. My son-in-law, he's a prison guard, and he's applying for a job to be a chaplain at the prison, which sounds good, but it's not really. I don't think so because a chaplain there, they make you accommodate all faiths, and I don't think it's a good thing. I mean, he's got to deal with the Muslims and everything else, and I don't think that's. I'd like the Lord to close that door, because he shouldn't be out of. A Christian shouldn't have to do that. So I pray that Lord, that you close that door so he would not get that job. And in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for that. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that he's going to find a better job somewhere else at Fuller Christian. Thank you, Lord.
Hi. How'd my video work? Or my audio?
Your audio sounded great.
Cool.
Yeah. It must be your bandwidth. Anyway, it sounded good. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Just to give you a quick review here of a praise report. Back in 2012, the summer 2012, I started having problems with mainly my knees and inflammation, and you know, I don't know if I. It took me a while to realize that it was. Arthritis, and the Lord was dealing with me about unforgiveness and stuff, and so I haven't had any of my joints get inflammation or anything in since like February, I think, maybe early February, I'm not sure, February sometime maybe, anyway, and I believe the Lord's, you know, I believe I'm healed from that because of getting rid of unforgiveness and all. And so I asked the Lord, I said, okay, I don't have the arthritis anymore, you know, but the only place that in any of my joints that were affected by it, because sometimes it would come in my wrists or my ankles and stuff, and the only place that was affected that did damage was in my knees, and like I couldn't stoop down to get in my cabinets with my get in my pots and pans without having problems getting back up. I didn't have the strength in my knees, and they would just, you know, hurt and stuff. And I don't know how many, this was maybe 2 to 4 weeks ago or whatever at the most. I noticed that you know, I could tell over time my knees were getting stronger, and that the Lord was manifesting, you know, the healing in them. But I realized, oh my gosh, I haven't had any problems getting up and down or anything like that, you know, or you know, my knees feeling, you know, like weak, like I couldn't hold my weight when I would try and stoop down or stand back up. So I was like, oh, wow, thanks. Lord, you're awesome, you know? Praise the Lord. Because I would, like, sit, you know, for until that hit me in 2012, you know, I could sit on the floor in Indian style and still have my legs kind of crossed and just stand up from that position, you know? But I couldn't, for the longest time, for like 5 years, I couldn't do that, you know, or 5 years, maybe a little less than that. And I was visiting Barbara today, and I was telling her, and I showed her, I said, I used to be able to do this all the time, but then for so, you know, a few years, I couldn't do this. And look, I could do it again, you know? So that's awesome. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. It's the little things, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like when you're used to, you know, your whole life, you know, feeling healthy in your joints and everything and not having problems getting around. And, you know, a lot of people pass it off, oh, you're just getting older. You may expect these things. Nope. Not as a believer in the Lord's healing, I don't receive these things, you know, that's kind of how the talk of people who don't believe in God's healing and think, you know, well, you know, you're going downhill, you know, you're getting older and your body's slowly, you know.
Yeah, you're falling apart, Missy.
Yeah, I was like, nope. So it's just like, it just tickles me pink to feel that strength again and be able to do the things that I used to be able to do. And it's like, awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Y'all didn't know it, but Missy's 73.
You need to deduct 21 years of that. Michael.
All right, what are you like, Barbara? You're 94.
Yeah, right.
No. How you doing, girl?
Well, that would put you as 103.
Yeah. It probably would. Yeah. Okay, that's a good testimony. All right. Anybody else got a good testimony?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Marlon, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, we've been praying for our son-in-law in California. He's not a saved person, and we tried to talk to him, you know, different times about things, but he really never want to talk about it. But the other day, he sent us an email, and I wanted to know if we had any opinion or knew anything about Planet X and the world ending on September 23rd. And so that really opened it up to talk to him about those things, and just praise the Lord.
Are you breaking up now, Marlon? Praise God.
Well, we got a new phone. I guess it's not working very good.
We can hear you now. Not now.
Yeah, I don't know how much of me you heard then.
Well, what we heard was that he had asked about Planet X and wanted to know if y'all knew anything about it, and you were beginning to tell us something about that conversation.
Yeah, well, that just opened it up so we'd be able to talk to him about that, and I just praise the Lord for that, because you could never talk to him about it before, so I know the Lord put that in him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that he is answering prayers, isn't he, to our loved ones. Amen. Anything else, Marlon?
No, that's it.
Okay. Thank you, brother. All right. Anybody else got a testimony, a praise report, or would like to be prayed for, or would like to pray? Yeah, no,
I just asked a quick prayer. I was just going to put in a quick prayer for my oldest son, that the Lord would provide him with more of a full-time job. Right now he's working part-time, been working part-time for about a year. I think it's time for him to, you know, find something a little more. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. And I just ask that on behalf of Seth that you find him a better job, something a little more pay and more full-time so he can get his life moving on, something that he would probably desire and be good for him. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Blake's got a praise report. Or maybe he doesn't.
Hey, Michael, this is Bruce.
Yeah, hey, Bruce, how you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams, brother.
Amen. I am, too. I got a praise report.
Okay.
Last week, we prayed her a month or so ago about me finding a job. Well, my unemployment was getting ready to run out. And somebody asked me, well, what are you going to do? I said, in the name of Jesus, by the end of this week, I'll have a job. And I have a job. Praise God.
Amen, brother. God bless.
So now I'm working.
All right.
I am so elated.
That sounds good, brother.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to declare and decree things. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. That was a good one, brother.
Hey, I think I remember when we prayed for you for that, but I think the Lord wanted you just to say it with your mouth.
It sounds like
how it works.
Amen.
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 That's taking authority in the
yep.
Word of God. Taking authority.
That's right.
Where, I'm not letting Satan kick me around no more. I mean, this is just getting old, so, you know, I'm taking authority in everything and anything.
Amen, praise brother. God. You go. Amen.
Amen. Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Okay, Blake. Go ahead, brother. Can't hear you. Hi, Jackie. There it is.
How about now? Hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Well, the first one is been trying to stay busy and make a little money before we go back home. And me and Papa prayed about it. And this lady that we met, Papa's looking at her house or whatever, and she gives me the number to this place that's a lawn care company up here. And sure enough, the lady gave us a call today and wants me to start Thursday, and I'll work till I leave. So that was pretty cool. The other one was I had a friend that was, whenever we were in Bible study last night, like, contacted me and wanted to commit suicide. And it was something that was heavily on this person. And I put the person on FaceTime so everybody could see her and everybody prayed for her. And she wanted me to send her Sovereign God book, so we sent her one. It's just, we haven't sent her one yet, but we're going to. I got her address. But it was just, she's asking me questions about God now, which is amazing. She's still having a little bit of trouble, but she said last night she had a dream, so that was cool. She just told me this probably like 10 minutes ago. So, and what else? God's good. I think that's all I got.
Well,
it might have been enough, but that's really good. And then Courtney's saying something about Harper.
You want to pray for this lady and her husband?
Should I rest in Jesus? That's already done.
Yeah. Well, you just thank God that that He brings the husband around too. Yeah, we thank you for that, Lord. Jesus' name. Hang on, Leon. Let me see what Courtney wanted. Did she want to talk?
She was saying, I think she was doing a praise report. I don't
know. Oh, okay. Yeah.
the bump on Harper's head that we prayed for a couple weeks ago, we went to the doctor, and it is just a bump. There's nothing wrong.
Praise God. Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Another praise report. She looks like me, so.
Oh, we're going to have to pray for that child.
That means we got to pray for his grandpa, too, because he gets that from his grandpa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Okay. Thank you, Courtney. Go ahead, Leon.
No, I was going to tell Blake that he should give the information about his video and what's transpired with that.
Oh, yeah.
My video, like the first day or the second day, I had like 300 views, and I was kind of getting down about it, I'm not going to lie. And Papa was like, man, 300, that's a good amount. That's a really good amount. He's like, you're going to have millions. And I was like, whatever, you know. I thought he was just trying to make me feel better about the situation. But somebody texted me and said, hey, go look at your video. Hold on, I got to go see it real quick. And I was like, wow, what's going on? So I just go check it out. So it went from 300 to 3,700 in a matter of 3 days. It's got, or 3 days ago it had 300, and then it's gained, let's see, 3,500 views in 3 days. There's been 196 people comment on it, or 200. There's been, I don't know how many people email me, constantly asking me stuff. It's just a blessing. It's blowing up. Somebody took my video and put it on a Christian site that's got almost 200,000 followers, and it's been amazing. And it's what I needed, but I got prideful about it after I seen all them likes, and then God tormented me, and I stayed up all night and, you know, showed me that not to be prideful about it. So that showed me that, because I did get prideful about it, but he knocked me back down. But, yeah, that's about it on the video.
Hey, Blake, I posted that where I usually talk to Christians, so that probably helped a little bit too.
Yeah, thank you very, very much, man. It's really, really getting around. That's a lot of views in just a short period of time. So thank you again.
Well, as soon as Lois gets back, we're going to put it on the website too. We'll have it on the website as well. But it won't get as many as that one place that we had it. That's right. You know, we all need to remember that it's God that does it. It's not us. It's always God. And anything that happens is because of God. And that's why sometimes we do have to get slapped back, you know, so to speak, because of the pride that tries to slip in. And new Christians sometimes get into that, and the Lord humbles them, and that's good. We learn from it. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Blake. Anybody else? Okay. Then we can go ahead and get right into the sons of God. What does it take? I want to read something first before we get into that, if that's all right with y'all. And I really think that y'all would like this. It's something from Andrew Murray on the Holy Spirit. Andrew Murray on the Holy Spirit. And this is one awesome book. I've always liked Andrew Murray. I've got a lot of his books. He just seems to communicate in my realm of understanding, and that's a good thing. And he talks about God is love in this book. And he quotes 1 John 4:16, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And he says, how little we know what we are. It amazes me to think that the everlasting God, who created heaven and earth, deals with each one of us individually. He deals with me. And I am filled with wonder that it pleases him to take from the fountain of his everlasting Godhead and fill me with his everlasting love. It is through this love that the Father begot the Son, and that the Holy Spirit maintains the fellowship between Father and Son. And also, I might add that he maintains that fellowship between the Son and us. He says, God is love. These words are found twice in the fourth chapter of the first epistle of John, verses 8 and 16. What do they mean? Well, I think they mean, first of all, that I must not seek love, for I may fail in doing so. If I want love, I must seek God, for love is the very nature of God. The scripture does not say that God has love, but that God is love. And the love that I need is God himself coming into my heart. Not a drop of pure, real, heavenly, everlasting love can come to us unless God is moved to give it as an act of his grace. God has revealed his love in all of nature, even in the animals. Look at the way the little lamb clings to its mother and the way the mother sheep cares for the lamb. That's what we call love. Similarly, even among the most heathen and ungodly people, you can find love of a certain sort. But the love of heaven, the love of eternity, the love that will last, the love that is not in the flesh but that comes from heaven, that love is God. If I want that love, I must have God. What a thought. Oh, let my heart bow in humble praise. I want this great God to come into me, to take possession of me, and to make me a vessel fit for his use. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. So that he can fill me with love. Let the heart say, yes, my God, take me and fill me with love for the sake of your Son who died on Calvary. The first question that arises here is, what do we need? We must know what we are seeking. And then our second question will be, what are we to do? What do we have to do to get what we are seeking? And the third question will be, what should we expect? What do we need? Look first of all at your relationship with God. Do you know the love of God as you ought to know it? Does it dwell upon you as an overshadowing power, the way the love of a mother dwells upon her child? Do you know the love of God, and does it make you sing the song of the ransomed ones from morning to night? There is not a heart that does not say, oh, I know the love of God too little. Then why is that? It's because you have not been perfected in love. When the soul is perfected in love, it has such a sense of that love that it can rest in it for eternity. And though it has as much as it can contain for the time being, it can always receive more. Again, are you not dissatisfied with your love for God? Yep. You sometimes think that you can say, oh my God, I do love you. There are many Christians, real Christians, who don't say that. They are afraid to say it. They fear God. They say earnestly, I wish to love God. And they complain very honestly and bitterly, oh my God, why do I have so little love? But they hardly know what it's like to say, oh God of heaven, how I love you. You know how my heart delights in you. Have you not had to confess very often that you could not speak like that to God? And does there not arise in your heart a strong feeling of condemnation? You say, oh, my love for God is not what it should be. And then sometimes when you have a sense of God's love given to you for a moment in your fellowship with him, is there not a cry? Oh, why can it not abide with me? A child has no trouble rejoicing in his parents' love. I remember my little boys when he was 5 or 6, sometimes coming to the study door, opening it, and just looking in and smiling to see Papa's face. And then he would shut the door and go away happy. Or he would come on tiptoe just outside the window, looking in to see Papa, and then go off again to play. It was never an effort for the child to love the father. Dear friend, God can do that for you. He can make his love cover you all day long, and your love will rise up to him all day in deep restfulness and in childlike peace. I am sure God can do it. I am sure God wants to do it. And this is what we need, more love, more of the love of God. What is it that we need? Look at our love for those around us in our daily lives, in our families with our husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters, employers, employees. Look at our daily lives in business. Look at our daily lives in society with the people whom we meet. Remember the remarks that are so easily made about others. Think of the hasty judgments, the sharp words, the thoughtless expressions that escape our lips. Think of how many people there are on whom our eyes look without love going out toward them. Why is it such an effort to us, and why do we fall short? I want you to get a hold of one thought, and that is that love is the easiest and most natural thing in the world, the easiest and happiest thing in the world, as long as you have love in your heart. But if you do not have it, then you may try to love a little, but will fail. Is God not able to take possession of the heart of his child? Is not God able in his mighty power as God to come into the heart of his child and to give his love and his spirit? Is God not able to open a fountain of love so that in all our daily conversation, it will be love, love, love flowing out unceasingly? Is God not able? I believe he is, and you believe it too. Christ said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. But oh, the Church of Christ has become known for its contentions and divisions. How terrible. Within the circle of the same little church, of the same little society, how often distrust and jealousy, unlovingness, and harshness arise among Christians. Dear friends, do you not feel that there is just one thing needed in your own homes and in your own circles and in your businesses? If your hearts were filled with God's love, how easy it would be to live his glory. And then there's one more thing. I must not only think of my relationship with God and my relationship with my fellow men around me, but I must especially think of my work for God's kingdom. What is it that is needed in the work of the church? And why do so many people complain of lack of power and lack of success? The one thing that is needed is the infinite love of God dwelling in us. And what would that do for us? It would give us more than one thing. In the first place, it would give us a wonderful tenderness, gentleness, meekness, and humility in dealing with people. What is the chief quality of Christ Jesus that makes him so pleasing to the Father? It's his humility. Christ said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart," Matthew 11:29. He made his way to the throne of glory in meekness and humility. Tell me, is this not what is needed in our work for God? The spirit of tender compassion and of gentleness should be seen with every word we say about the people whose souls we are seeking. This is the sign of Christ's presence. And then, more love would not only make us gentle, but as with Christ himself, it would also be the power and the inspiration of a divine zeal that would cause us to sacrifice all. If we loved others with the love of God, there would be much more power in our work, much more sacrifice of our time and our comfort in order to pray to God for souls, much more intercession. Well, that's exactly what is needed today. Oh, if we loved, oh, as we ought to love, how much more we would sacrifice our comfort. How often we would ask, what more can we sacrifice for Jesus? If the love of God truly possessed us, we would sacrifice everything for souls. Our formality, our routine, our habits, the ways we have learned to walk, they would all pass away. Not only would we do more work, but we would also do different work. Work breathed upon us by the love of God. And then, when we have gotten the divine fire of Christ, the Lamb of God, the Spirit of the Lamb who gave himself to the cross, something will pass unconsciously and unwittingly out of us to others. They will not know what it is, and we will not know, but how many unconverted men will be converted by the power of God's love. Is this not what every worker needs? It is the one thing the church needs, and bless God, it's the one thing he wants to give us too. Suppose we truly see our need in our relationship with God, with society, and with the work we have to do for Christ. Then we ask, what must we do? Well, the first thing is this. There will have to be the discovery and confession of sin. We must not only confess our need, which is part of the process, but we must also go far deeper. Use the words perfect love as if they were a lamp from heaven and flash them first of all into your own heart and life. Look at your life in the light of that perfect love. Next, turn the light of those words, perfect love, onto Christ to find out what is in him and what he is able to do. Find out exactly what Christ can give you, what Christ can do for you, and how you can become possessed by the life and the love shown in him for you. Then take this light and turn it upon the face of the world, upon the work we have to do in our own immediate circles and among those who don't believe. And lastly, in the light of perfect love, go afresh to work for Jesus. And we must begin with ourselves to let the light shine upon ourselves and upon our lives. And what does that mean? It means that within us there will have to be a distinct discovery of where we fail. Now, I'm not going to write down a list of transgressions against the law of love. But suppose we have discovered how far we have fallen short in thought and word and deed in the light of this perfect love. What then? Are we to come to God with these sins? Yeah. And yet that is not enough. What we need to is to find out what is the root of it all and what it is. I may have been a Christian for 10 or 20 or 30 years praying for God to give me love. But there is something that is like a devil within me so that I cannot love. What is this temper or this evil spirit? What is this coldness of disposition? God will lead you to see what's at the root of it. And you know what it is? Just one word. Self. When God created Adam, he gave him self life. And what was his purpose in doing so? It was so that Adam could bring that self life to God, to be filled with God's life. But Adam turned away from God and had that self life closed against God. That is the corruption you and I have inherited from Adam, and that's self. If grace comes into a Christian and begins to work in his heart, and if the seed of life is planted amid the mass of surrounding corruption, the Christian may strive and fight and pray and wrestle to conquer, but in vain. Self is the one and only cause of his failure. He tries to pluck off a fruit here and a bud there. He cuts off one branch after another of this terrible enemy of love. He vows and strives and perhaps does grow a little in love, yet at the bottom there is no rest. Why? Because there is something there that won't love. Oh, may God reveal to us that terrible something, self. And we will then understand that nothing less than death, the death to self, is what must occur if the love of God is to live in us. Therefore, the first step we have to take is to come to God and confess that there is something in us that's got to die, and then we can't, that we can't slay ourselves. The next thing will be a fresh surrender to God. But oh, I think that with many, it must be a different surrender than what they have made previously. Many people honestly surrender themselves to God, but they never understand what it means to surrender self. There's a great difference between surrendering yourselves and surrendering yourself, as we use the word self, S-E-L-F. It means giving up your whole self as you are, that root out of which all the evil comes. Many people say, oh yes, I want to give myself to God just as I am so that he may save me. But they never yet understood what the self is that has to be given up and what it really means to give it up to God. Yet God teaches the upright. He teaches him through deep humiliation. And then a man finds out, I did indeed turn to God, and yet I never turned away from myself. I took myself with my old will and temper as I was and gave myself to God. But that's not what God wanted. God wanted me to turn away from self. That is the surrender we must ask God to teach us. We must learn to give up this accursed self. And dear friend, you want to realize perfect love for God in this world? Does that self-will hinder you? You must find some way of dealing with that self. And you cannot deal with it yourself. It is only the love of God coming in that will cast out self, and before God will do that, self must be brought, like a criminal, must be laid at Christ's foot. There's no cure for self but death. We got to die to self. And how can we do that? We can't kill ourselves. We can't be our own executioners. We can't nail ourselves to the cross. God alone is the death of self. God himself must do it. He allowed Christ to die on the cross, and then when Christ had died, God raised him up. That's why when God brings a man to see all that there is in Christ and to receive Christ fully, the power of Christ's death can come upon him, and he can die to sin. If he dies to sin, he dies to self. And how can a man be dead to sin if he's not dead to self? He can't. Self is the very root of sin. There is no sin if there's no self. You can take away man's sins, and you can adorn the inner man until you think there's no sin there. But if self is still there, sin's there too. Let us ask God to teach us what it is to have given up self. Let us then come and ask God for grace to give up ourselves to him as we have never done before. Remember, God is love. And I'm going to stop there. It goes on and on. It's just real good exhortation on God's love for us. And what we have to do to receive that love is to die to self, get rid of self. And the only way to do that is to ask God to take it away from us. And how do we do that? We renew our mind with the Word of God. That's the only way it's going to come. You can't just sit around and think that God's going to do it. You have to renew your mind with the Word of God, and He'll do it for you. As gradually, you'll start seeing that mind and will and emotions going toward Jesus rather than yourself. You'll see that happening. But it has to be, you have something to do yourself. And the thing that you do is pray and read and study the Word of God. And you learn how Jesus walked. And asking the Lord all the time, Lord, take this away from me. Take that away from me, you know. Next thing you know, you'll be walking like Jesus. You'll be bearing fruit of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? He said, the things that you've seen me do, as you walk this walk out, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. And we've already seen some of that already through our prayers being answered. Big time prayers being answered. It's awesome to watch what God's doing. But in order for us to get that love of God in us, we have to get God in us, don't we? We have to get the Word in us. Okay, anybody got any questions or would like to comment on that little piece there from Andrew Murray? Okay. Being led by the Spirit of God. Anybody want to comment on that?
Is that tonight's topic, or was it about love?
It was about being led by the Spirit of God. But I just thought I'd throw that in there. That's one of the aspects. Huh? Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
You know, I can relate to what Andrew Murray's talking about, because you think about sometimes that you don't feel like you're as loving as you need to be, or you wonder because you see Jesus and how he was amongst all the people, and he's very selfless, you know, always available, tirelessly available. And you think, geez, I'm not like that, you know. You think about your life and you always reserve a little time to yourself to do this or do that, you know. And then if somebody comes up and you're in the middle of something and you're trying to get things done, at least, you know, if I'm at work. And like today, for instance, I looked at my paperwork, daily work assignment, and I thought, okay, well, he's only got me doing this, so I'll try to plan my day out for this, because I also got to take care of this thing over here. I'm gonna start putting my head together and get my daily plan, and I go talk to a few people. Hey, what do you got going over here? Can I take care of this real quick and get this done? And oh yeah, you got that. So I'm starting to take care of things. I'm getting my workload kind of arranged, how I'm gonna work out my day. And all of a sudden, my boss comes up and says, "Hey, wait." I said, "Well, I got this worked out, so I can take care of this real quick, so I can get this done, so I can work on this over here." He says, "Well, I appreciate your effort, but I need you now to break away. I need you to pull you over to this other part. We got a problem over here, and I need you to be able to take care of it." It's like, oh, okay. All right. Let me get this all worked out here and, you know, go back and put everything back together and tell this person, hey, I gotta give this to you. I can't hold it. You know, we're going to have to use it the way we normally do. And I'll just have to take the machine back from you later on in the afternoon, like I didn't want to. Sorry, but this way it's working out. I had to go over there and fix this other guy's machine that he'd been working on. And I'm a little irritated, you know, not mad, but, you know, but thinking, okay, Dave, just kind of roll with it, be good. But, you know, in your heart, you're not really being loving. You're just kind of, you're dealing with the situation, but you are putting, you know, with that, it's like, I'm putting myself first. This is what I want to do. And even though I went along with what I had to do and I fully complied and I got everything done, I'm still kind of, you know, not really happy about it. You know, so my exuberance isn't extended out to anybody else. I'm doing what I need to do. I agree with it. I'm not giving anybody a hard time. I get the information I need, but still I'm not there to just say, oh, hey, brother. All right, I've been there. You know, I'm not, you know, being real consoling. So you think about how you are when you react to when you have to be and do something that you really didn't intend on doing. And the Lord's going to draw you into this and you're going to take care of it. I mean, that's the test. How are you going to be in this situation? How are you going to be with these people? Are you just going to drop everything like Jesus would and just go and just take care of it? And whatever else needed to be done, he was there for that. He may have moved on to other things, but he still took care of what he had to take care of. And he didn't leave until whatever needed to be mended and fixed, then he would move. But he even when it comes down to when people asked him to stay, well, he would stick around if he could. And even though he might have had somewhere else in mind he wanted to go, he would stay there and he would take care of it and he would be, you know, take care of business. And he wasn't there to make a fuss about it until he got what needed to be done, taken care of, and then he'd move on. I mean, that's the places where I think we sometimes fail, is we still are putting ourselves first, where we want to take care of things. Even if it's ministerial work, we've got something in mind, but something else comes up and grabs us. And we're thinking, man, I built up for this. My mind's on that, but I got, you kind of get turned around a little bit. And I think that's where the Lord just kind of wants you to be able to just, hey, wait. I'm gonna take care, and I'm gonna scramble the eggs a little bit. The Lord's saying, and I want to see. Now I want to see how you're gonna take care of scrambled eggs. So, I think that's part of what we have to deal with our love, is to be willing to drop whatever we think is important, drop whatever master plan you might have had figured out that you're gonna run with, and if something else comes up, that's the way the Lord wants it to go.
That's a very good analogy of the way God wants us to operate, and that is, just like you said, he ordained that to happen, to try your patience. And that's one thing that God always helps us with, is to get rid of impatience out of us. He wants patience. He wants us to deal with people. You know, I understand where you're coming from. Of course, I was in maintenance for a long time. You could be working on a piece of equipment, almost get it back together. You need to drop that and get over here on this over here, you know. And how you react is where you are with Christ. Or, you know, even take now, you know, if I'm doing something and Leon comes in there and says, I need you to do this, you know, how am I going to react? Or if Blake does, wants me to do something else, how are you going to react? Well, don't bother me now, you know. Bless God, I'm doing this right here. I'm doing God's work, you know. And when you're not doing God's work. You ain't exhibiting any love at all, you know. But that's what I'm saying. He wants us to, just like Dave was talking about, he wants us to be just like he is. And that is to drop everything and attend to the moment, because somebody's watching you. Somebody knows what's, they said that guy calls himself a Christian and he's short tempered. There's something wrong with that picture, but it's God working patience in us. It's got, you know, or we might say something kind of, let them know, you know, we got to let them know that, hey, you're interrupting me. You know, I love you, brother, but you're interrupting me, okay? I just want you to know that. You might not say that, but you know, that's what you was thinking. And he wants to get us to the point to where all we have coming out of us is love and light. And the only way we can do that is to surrender it all to him. Get in the Word of God and learn what it is to walk like Jesus and just surrender it all to him. Lord, I give my heart to you. You know, we say that kind of flippantly, or we might be real serious about it. But the first thing God does is bring that person that irritates you a little bit around and pushes that button that you have for him, you know, or her. And that button is pushed, and he's going to say, he's going to check you out, see how you're going to operate. What you going to do now? I pushed that button for you now. What you going to do? You going to overcome? You going to do like me? Yeah, Dave, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I had a guy push my button when I was there. Because what it was, after this guy left, it was like he tackled three things at once, and it was a mess. You know, I had to figure out, okay, where's my problem? Because it was wiring, it was electronics, it was mechanical, it was all everything all mixed in one pot. So I've got to start with one, and I'm starting to work and figure this out. And of course, here comes the guy that Satan's going to work through. He's going to comes up to me. Oh, he says, I see they found you something to do. And I'm thinking, ugh. And I just want to stay focused on this right now, if you don't mind. I just, you know, I just want to stay on this. And I wasn't friendly, but I wasn't mad. I wasn't mean, but I didn't, but his conversation was, hey, can I stir the pot a little bit? It wasn't like, hey, can I help you? It wasn't what he was there for. So it was like, no, I just want to stay focused, if you don't mind. He says, thank you. And he walked away, kind of. But it was like that. Of course, that was right there. I knew it was all God. I knew it was somebody trying to serve me, but I thought I'm not losing my temper. But I just said, well, I just want to stay focused on the problem. But I'd rather say, hey, how you doing, or anything like that, or what's going on, or start a conversation and be friendly. I didn't do that. So you know, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I went through this with glorious colors. Before, I might have been a little more colorful and not even said something bad to him. I would have just started blowing off about things. I didn't do that, but I was still just kind of like, I don't want to deal with this right now. I had enough to deal with, and I didn't want this guy to come up here and start jabbing me. But I just kind of, that's the way I handled it. I said, okay, I'm kind of focused right now. I want to stay with this, okay, if you don't mind. But I could have been a little more friendly. I mean, you can critique yourself all day, which you should have did or done, or how you should have been. And, you know, I think God will give us more opportunities as we go. That's all I can say. I don't know.
I'll tell you a flesh killer for me. And I'm going to lay it out there to you. Now, Leon is a flesh killer for me. I'll just say it right out loud. I can be in there one day. The first time this happened, I was in there. I'd been slaving in the kitchen for hours, and I got it all together, and I'm cooking this great big pot of whatever. And he comes in nonchalantly and said, I'm not eating tonight. I said, what? I ain't eating tonight. I said, I got a big pot. What are you talking about? Because, you know, Leon can put some groceries away, and I cook for him a lot because I know that he likes, you know, to eat, and I do too. And he's not eating. I got all these leftovers, you know, and at first I'd say something to him about it, you know, but he kept doing that, and finally, you know, I'd go around the mountain again, and he'd come around in and I ain't eating tonight, and I've already got this great big nice fine dinner ready, you know. And it don't bother him a bit in the world to tell me he ain't eating anymore. And it doesn't bother me anymore. It used to. It used to bother me to no end. But it doesn't bother me anymore. God took me through it. Now, I had to go around the mountain a half a dozen times, but that was a big one for me. But I got over that. Praise God. But I got over it, and that doesn't bother me. He did it to me today, you know. And then he said, I'm not going to be eating tonight. I said, okay. Okay, no problem. Of course, we invited some more people to take his part. He come in there and got him a bowl, too. So, no big deal. Go ahead, Missy.
I'm curious, what did you make? Like some kind of a soup or something?
Well, I made egg drop soup. And David wanted me to, you don't know what egg drop soup is? That's a Chinese dish. It's a very simple dish. It's just chicken broth and eggs put in it, and a couple of little spices is all. All it is, you boil it, and then you scramble the eggs, and you pour it in there, and it makes egg drop soup. That's all it is. And but David come in there and said, wonder what that tastes like with some hominy in it. I said, what? He said, yeah, let's put some hominy in it. So I put some hominy in there. Tastes like hominy. Tastes just like hominy, didn't it, Leon?
So what did you do?
We put it in the blender. We put it in the blender, yeah, okay. And blend it up and drink it.
Yeah, liquefied it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking about doing chicken and dumplings tomorrow and blending it and drinking it. You know, biscuits and gravy. Who knows? You know, ain't no end to the stuff that you can make in a blender and drink it.
Right. But the thing of it is, sometimes, though, some things, I mean, it just doesn't taste as good if it's blended.
Listen, you put some Tony Chachere's in it or a jalapeno, it'll make it taste good. I guarantee you.
Yeah, yada, 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 yada.
That's a natural fact, girl. I'm telling you. But anyway,
How about soft ice cream?
Soft ice cream? You got to be able to drink it. It has to be in a milkshake.
Got it.
You know what I'm talking about, Malcolm.
Have these thoughts.
Yeah. Well, how about ice cream with bananas?
Oh!
And a milkshake, you know. Scrambled up. Yeah. Go ahead, Blake.
I was going to ask if will you pray for me, and I just don't feel good at all. Like, at all. Like, I don't know. Just don't
okay.
feel good.
All right, let's just pray.
Just Father, agree on prayer.
Yep. You want to pray? You want me to?
I want you to. We'll just agree with you.
All right. In the name of Jesus, right now, we come against this spirit of infirmity that's trying to come on Blake, and we command it to go from you right now. Now, we have the authority that Jesus Christ gave us. We're standing in the stead of Jesus here. We're standing in his name. We command you to go by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, you go from him. All the symptoms, leave him right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that he is healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Everybody believe that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you're healed, brother. All right, anybody else want to comment on love? L-U-V, love. Yeah, Willie, go ahead.
You know, as a black man, we always know about love. We got that soul.
Man, that's right.
I think about all those songs out there.
You know, talking about love, have you ever been in a situation where you know you just committed a sin, and you're like, oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. And you cried out to God. You're just feeling bad that day. You know, then someone calls you that need encouragement in the scripture. And you're like, can't you see I just sinned? No.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh Lord, I feel so weighed down with my own sin. But what can I say to him, Lord? And so your flesh starts getting impatient. And you're like, and you just want to, look, this is what you got to do. You got to, you know, if you just look here in the Bible, you understand, you know. And I often wonder why the Lord would do that. After you know you did something wrong, you just feel bad. You're like, what can I do to help this person, Lord? You know, I've always been curious about why the Lord has always done that to me. Like, and I'm just feeling horrible about my sin. And here it is. a person is just dealing with, you know, I'd have like my friend Dave would call me. He's like, oh man, well, you know, I just did something wrong. And I'm like, yeah, I did too. How can I help you? And so you gotta, what is that? Why does the Lord do that? If anybody got an answer for that one.
I can think about Peter, how much he screwed up when he denied the Lord. And, you know, the Lord gave him time to think about it. But, you know, he got him back in the ministry. He wasn't going to let him sit there and dwell on how he screwed up. He says, okay, he screwed up. You see the mistake you made. Now I need you to get back on your feet and start doing the work I need you to do. I think the Lord just doesn't, he has no problem letting it go. Do we have a problem letting it go?
Well, constantly the Lord is teaching us patience, endurance in our faith too. And we have to keep that, bear that in mind, you know, and he's helping us to kill this old flesh. You know, that's the main thing right there, getting rid of that old flesh life. And boy, you're right, Willie. I got people calling me when I don't feel like talking, you know, and they want to talk for an hour and a half. And I'm sitting there, you know, trying, yeah, you know, and they want to small talk me, and I ain't got time for small talk, you know. Quit small talking me and get to what you want. Let's pray for it and get on out of here, for goodness sake. You know, that's what you want to say, but you don't say that. But anyway, it's God working patience in us. He's working, getting that old self man to die. And that's why I did. I'll just tell you a little funny story. Sometimes, do you ever just hit the button to go right straight to voicemail? Now, don't be sitting there telling me no lie. Now, I know you all have done that. Glory to God, I know you've done it.
You know, sometimes I'm like, I'll just let that ring for right now because I got some internal problems going on. And I know that this person needs my help. But I really can't help them right now because I don't feel like it. Yeah, you know, it is the Lord working patience. But, you know, I really wish I could recognize, you know, the type of heart that the Lord wants me to have when that happens. It just seems like I'm fighting with impatience. I'm fighting with, you know, trying to give the right scripture. And it's because I'm so, you know, absorbed, you know, what happened or what I did or, you know, the state of mind, you know, that I'm currently in. And it seems very hard to be like, you know, let me go into my drawer and, you know, bake you a cake and, you know, make it the way that you like it. You know, what kind of frosting you want on that? It's just, here, look, this is all I got. Look, just eat that and be happy by it. I got to go. And it's like, I always just found that really weird that the Lord would do that to me all the time. And I'm like, man, I don't know where, you know, I really have to lean on him for, you know, an understanding. It's still something I you know, fail in the sense of having gentleness immediately when the present need is at hand. It's almost like I become legalistic. Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do that? That's why you're in this situation. Are you doing this? Are you doing that? That's why you're in this situation. I don't know how to show love, meekness, and gentleness at that time, right after I just sinned, because I'm dealing with the weight of what I committed against the Lord. No, that's all I got to say.
Can I add something real quick, brother?
Yeah, go ahead, Jeremy.
There's no condemnation in Christ for those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When we err into the flesh, and then we love to feel that way. Misery loves company, right? We love to feel that way, and we just revel in it, and the devil just gets to beat us up over and over and over and tell us what we need to do. And he's really attacking your salvation at that, because you're saved by grace. And if he can convince you that you're a sinner, right, then he's attacking your faith. And God sends somebody else to show you that you're imperfect just like they are, right? I found that happen to me several times. And I'll screw up on something. I don't know what it is. random things, man. I mean, anything, you know. You stub your toe and you say something you don't want to say, right? Or you treat somebody wrong, and then, you know, the Lord said, well, should you, you know, next time talk to them a little bit different. Then the devil goes, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have been like that. See, and that, now think about how they're going to feel. And so I just started preaching to them, right? And I feel the presence of the Spirit. You know, when I preach to them about, you know, their problems, it helps me overcome mine, and it pulls me back into the Spirit, right? And I'm able to see clearly then. I can see the forest without the trees. And it's a lot easier for me to deal with the everyday challenges of life. My personal problem, I'll share with you guys, and, you know, is that I'll say something, man. You have a problem. You just, you know, with people. It's generally because you've stated your opinion on something. Everybody's going to disagree. So you state your, and this is where it gets tricky when it comes to grace, because grace is sufficient for thee. It is an individual experience, but our mindset says that grace needs to be for me as it is for you. On misunderstanding circumcision and uncircumcision, Peter and Paul, so therefore they want to make you more like them so they feel more confident in their walk. And they'll argue with you, and I've done the same thing from the opposite perspective, right? Are defending myself, making myself a sinner, Galatians 2:17. Instead of agreeing with my adversary quickly, I'll justify myself all night. And then I'll go, why did I do that? Right. And I have to repent. And the Lord keeps sending them, right? The little trivial things. The Lord will keep sending them just to allow me that another opportunity to say, okay, well, I'll take that consideration. Instead of saying, no. You see, and that's my personal challenge to overcome. So it's a lot easier just to agree with them quickly because I'm not justified by their opinion. I don't care what they think. You know, as long as I'm not offending them, they can think whatever they want about me. Jesus said that, you know, when he's talking to Pilate, that if, you know, I'm not of this, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight for me. Why am I fighting for him? So, you know, that really, really kind of shook me there. And just on a side note, I just find it a little coincidental that right after you started talking about that whatever suit, Michael, that's right when Blake started feeling weird. Just saying.
No, I tell you, Blake didn't eat the egg drop soup. He's not fasting. He had a plate of spaghetti that would choke a mule, man, I'm telling you.
No, you were just talking about it. All of a sudden, he's like, I don't feel good.
Yeah, he chowed down on about 5 gallons of spaghetti. That's the reason why he ain't feeling good.
Jeremy, I've gained 35 pounds since I've been here.
that means he's a good cook. So praise God for that. You know, and apologize to whoever does the dishes.
Leon gets mad at me about that, but we're good. I've been picking up after myself.
There you go.
Most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time.
Yeah, but I don't know how you do that egg drop soup. I don't know how you guys do it. It's the chicken and the egg thing that gets me. Like Denny's stuff there, they have a chicken and egg omelet, like the before and after breakfast. It's very weird, right? I couldn't picture myself. It doesn't seem right. You know what I mean? So to put like chicken broth with little like scrambled eggs in it,
it's good.
Must be a southern thing.
No, it's a Chinese thing.
I'm talking about chicken and eggs.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway,
chicken waffles.
Getting back off the eating subject, let's get on to something else. It's love. You know, I could eat a hamburger right now. Man, I'll tell you what, that'd choke a mule. Big old greasy ones. Okay, let's talk again about, while we're on the subject, anybody got anything else on how God takes the flesh out? Love, you know, how do we get that love?
You know, I was thinking a lot of the things we talked about was the love that he wants us to have is going to be also coupled with patience, isn't it? And how we work with each other and everybody. So our love is going to be it's going to be showing manifest to others is how patient we are with them too, when we have to deal with them. So that's what I'm seeing. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's got to be God that does it, you know. How many of you tried to do it yourself, you know? So I'm just going to show love today, glory to God. And I'm just going to my whole being is just going to just light out with love for everybody, even the folks that I don't care a thing in the world about. I'm going to show love to them today. And then somebody will say that one something to you that hits that button, and then the stuff comes out your mouth, don't it? Well, it's because we're trying to get rid of self instead of allowing God to get rid of that self out of us. And that's the love that Andy Murray was talking about. We have to allow God to do all of these things in us. And we do that by getting in the Word, praying, and getting close to God. And there are some books that Andrew Murray talks about praying and important it is for the child of God. First thing in the day is to get up early if you have to, sacrifice yourself to get up and talk to the Lord and develop that relationship with Him in order to get your daily instructions, you know, so to speak. And that's what I try to do. I'm not successful at it all the time, but most of the time I get up real early in the morning and get in the Word and pray. And if I don't do it in the mornings, I'll try to find some time during the day to do it, you know. We're very fortunate here. We've got we're on the top of a big mountain. And I could go up on the very top up there and be by myself and scream and holler and throw snot if I want to, you know, and pray with the Lord. And it's awesome. It's awesome that we have this solitude here. I don't have to get in the closet anywhere. I can go up on top of the mountain and scream at the turkeys, you know, which is good. I like to pray out loud. I don't know about y'all. That's just me. I love to pray out loud. And I can do it up there, and I can do it on my walks when I go on my walks. Not that I'm anywhere near where God wants me, but, you know, I get there by praying in the Spirit a lot. Praying in the Spirit a lot gets you close to the Lord. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I try things sometimes when I'm praying in the Spirit. And like I said, I ain't nothing, but I'm just telling you my experiences. I've shut my eyes and praying in the Spirit, walking up and down these mountains here, just to see how far I can go without falling off one of them, you know, or stumbling or something, you know. And it works. God will keep you from hurting yourself, you know. I can go at least 5 steps without falling off the mountain, you know, before I open up my eyes. It's not like I go 500 feet, you know, without opening my eyes, but I'll go a little way. And if the Lord is talking to me, I'll stop and listen. And the Lord will bless you. He'll do it. He wants a relationship with each one of us, a personal relationship. I know that word is thrown around a lot, but He does. He wants a personal relationship with us, and He'll talk to you. Sometimes He'll do it audibly, or at least it seems to be audible, you know. First, I told y'all this before, first time I had the Lord talk to me audibly. I was just a new Christian, man. I got up one morning and told the Lord I loved Him and was putting on my blue jeans. And this voice back here said, "I love you too, Michael." I said, "Whoa, Lord of God." That was the Lord telling me that He loved me. And that's happened throughout the years, you know, that the Lord has said things to me at times. And He's done that to y'all too. But anyway, God wants a personal relationship with each of us. Ain't but one way to do that, and that's to get alone with Him. And we're coming to a time where it's going to be very, very important to have a relationship with the Lord. Excuse me, because there's going to be a lot of noise around you, and you're going to need to listen to what the Lord's telling you at the time, what to do. Amen. All right, anybody else? Anybody else want to comment on the relationship with the Lord? Romans 8:13-17. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if, condition, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. And how is that suffering? What's that suffering part? I know we don't like that part of it, but it's a condition that God has given us. When these trials and these tribulations come upon us, how are you going to react? Are you going to react like Jesus, or are you going to react like the old self life does? And that's what he's talking about here. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Amen. Anybody want to comment on that? Anybody got a question about? He says, if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you're going to live. You either kill sin or it's going to kill you. That's what it looks like to me, right? You either kill that sin or it's going to kill you. And we put a lot of emphasis on that word, by the Spirit. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you're going to live. You know, there's one thing that we need to remember, and that is this right here. By the Spirit doesn't mean that the Spirit is a tool or a weapon that we wield. The Spirit is somebody. It's part of God. It's part of God himself. We're in his hands, not he in ours. We're in God's hands, and we need to remember that. He's not a tool for us. We're a tool for him. He wants us to work, and that's why it's imperative that we get to understand and listen to the voice of God. When you listen to the voice of God, you will be a tool for him. If somebody walks up to you in Walmart or walks by you and the Lord says, go pray for him. And if you ain't listening, you ain't going to pray for him. If you see somebody that needs a healing, I've done this, I can't tell you how many times. It can be at Walmart, it can be at Home Depot or wherever. It doesn't make any difference. On the street. He told me one time to go pray for this guy up in Little Rock. Up in North Little Rock. I said, who is it, Lord? He said, I'll show you when you get there. And went up there, and it was at National Home Center. And I said, where is he, Lord? Come wheeling out in the wheelchair. He said, there he is right there. Pray for him. And that's you know, he's used me like that many times. But you have to listen to him. You have to listen to the Lord to tell you those things. One time he told me to go pray for a dead kid that had been killed in a wreck. I didn't pray long enough. It was me, it wasn't God, but he wanted that boy raised up, me and another guy. And I wasn't enduring in my faith. We didn't stay but just a little while. We saw that, you know. Of course, I was ignorant at the time. I didn't understand that sometimes you have to endure in your faith to see it manifested. I didn't understand that at the time. I thought when I went up there, bless God, I was going to put my hands on that dead boy, and he's coming up out of that coffin. No, God wants us to endure in our faith to see these things happen. I remember after that, I had talked with Curry Blake. It's when his daughter had fell out the second story window, hit the concrete. She was dead on when she hit the concrete. He picked her up and prayed for her for, gosh, a long time. And his wife come down and said, Curry, she's dead. Said she can't do anything about it. He said, if you don't have the faith to believe, get out of here. And kept on. You will live and not die in the name of Jesus. You will live and not die in the name of Jesus. It's just a rag doll, just a broken mess of meat and blood. And he's put her up against that wall. He finally, after about 45 minutes or an hour of doing the same thing, he put that baby up against the wall. And he said, you will live and not die in the name of Jesus. And that baby fall down like a rag doll. He'd pick her up, put her up against there again. He said, you will live and not die in the name of Jesus. She fell down. He did it the third time. He pushed her up there and he said, you will live and not die in the name of Jesus. She started coughing blood. Part is on now. And she's alive today. She's 20. She might be close to 30 now. Helping him in the ministry. That's when you don't give up. You just keep on. If God tells you to do something, he's doing something. He's going to work in you. But you got to listen. We have to listen to understand when God tells you to do something that he's going to do it. It doesn't make any difference how long it takes. He might be trying to work something out in you. You know? Okay, I've rattled on enough. Somebody else. Just remember that the Holy Spirit uses you, not you use him. He uses you. The Spirit leads by bringing God the Father's love to us. He brings that love to us. He's the one that creates the love in us and our heart. All right, anybody else on the love of God or being led by the Spirit?
Michael, I just wanted to say those were good testimonies that you just gave.
Yeah.
Very good. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a true story. It's when we're at our weakest that God shows himself as the strongest, you know. Curry knew the baby was dead. He didn't have any other choice but to believe God at that time. Sometimes we give up too easy. I know, I'll tell you a failure that I had. The Lord showed me in a vision one night. This was many years ago. My mother was an invalid. She had some kind of rare disease that locked her body up, and she couldn't walk. She couldn't walk for a long time. And mother was a very active lady growing up, you know, and it was hard for me to see her in that way. But the Lord, right after I got saved, and I was in the healing ministry at the time, I learned about healing and how to do that and the word of faith movement and all that stuff. But he gave me a vision one time of my mother. I walked in her room and she was in bed. And as I walked over close to her, I saw her move her legs. And I said, in the name of Jesus, because I knew right then that she was coming up out of that bed. I said, in the name of Jesus, come up out of that bed right now in Jesus' name. And when I said it, as I was saying it, not when I said it, but as I was saying it, the Lord picked her up and set her on her feet. Vision ended. Right after that, the power of God, I was in bed at the time. It was 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Right after that, the power of God was in that bedroom so strong. I could still remember and feel it. that I could just barely get out of bed and get on my knees and start praying. And I prayed for, I don't know, for a while until I felt, you know, like I could get back in bed. And I got back in bed and went immediately to sleep and had a dream of my mother in a wheelchair at my brother's house. And I had walked into the door at my brother's house and she was in a wheelchair facing me. And I just walked over to her and said, in the name of Jesus, come up out of that wheelchair. And I grabbed her hands and pulled her up and she could walk. Now that was a vision and a dream in the same night. And the next day I went to my mother and I started praying for her and nothing happened. And then I called, I called Curry. I said, come on, Curry, let's go. Curry Blake. No, it was James Bogle, another man of God that was in the healing ministry. I called him and said, would you go with me to pray for my mother? And I told him about that. He said, sure. And so we did. We fasted before we did it. We went and prayed. Didn't pray but about 15 minutes. You know? And then Curry, I had him do it, same thing. Nothing. She went to her grave without ever walking again. And I believe the reason was my fault is because I didn't endure in my faith to stay there with her, teach her about faith. I taught her about faith, but not to the extent that I should have. And I understood after she died what had happened. It's a process that God wants us to go through in order to endure and learn to endure in our faith until we see it manifested. And I got to reading about John G. Lake. John G. Lake would stay, he would make his technician, he called them healing technicians, he would make them stay with the person that came in for healing until they got healed. Until they got healed. Now they'd have to teach them about faith and whatever, but that's the reason he was so successful in his ministry. He taught them to stay with those people until they got healed. Yeah.
Well, that just makes me think about, I mean, I had to leave for a little bit and deal with a little furball, but anyway, maybe this is how this came about, but what comes to my mind is, what you were talking about earlier about being selfless or, and patient, you know. Well, what are we starting to describe here? Love is patient, love is kind, love is long suffering, you know, and all these things, you know. So, I mean, really, you know, you really have to, you know, give up yourself to stay there and until you see it manifested, you know, you really got to give it yourself. You forget me, you know. And be focused on that person and what the Lord's wanting to do, you know, and like you said, teach them faith or whatever. But yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, I know that we are to have faith and to pray and just believe from that point on. But the person that you're praying for doesn't know that. Sometimes you have to teach them. You have to teach them faith.
Encourage them.
Encourage them. That's right. That's right. Yep. There's some people that I've ministered to, I've had to work with for weeks, you know. I'm just telling you the truth. But they get over whatever it is. But sometimes we have to learn it the hard way, which is okay as long as you learn it.
Amen.
All right, anybody else want to say anything about the love of Christ and all these things we've been talking about tonight? Here's something else that Lake always talked about. He talked about praying in the Spirit a lot. That'll definitely raise your faith level to an exponential level if you do that a lot. And I try to do it a lot. So that's, and I think a lot of y'all do too. If you haven't, you need to. It's something that is imperative for your walk with Christ. That builds you up. That builds your faith up. That builds your strength up in Christ too. Let me just share a little something here with you here. I've kind of found out. A solid understanding of spiritual authority is vital to build your faith when casting out demons, healing the sick, and exercising your authority over the power of darkness. When we have been given authority to cast out demons, but instead we pray that God brings the demon out instead, we're basically asking God to do something that he gave us the tools to do ourselves. Jesus told us to cast out demons. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to ask God to cast out demons. Mark 13:34 says, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." Now, authority does not beg. It don't ask. What does authority do? It commands. We're not told to ask God to cast out demons. We're told to do it ourselves, just like he told Moses. "I done given you authority. Raise that staff, boy, and command that water to part." That's the command that he wants us to do. He's given us. We're not even told to beg him demons to come out. They ain't going to listen to them if you do. We're commanding them because we have authority over all the power of the enemy. Matthew 8:8-13. The centurion, listen to it. This is the authority he's given us. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the self same hour. He knew that Jesus had the commanding authority to make his son healed, and he didn't have to come over there to his house and touch his head. All he had to do was speak the word, and that's all he's given. He's given us the same power. Authority is exercised through our spoken word. Proverbs 18:21, and all of you are familiar with this one. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, if you speak blessings, you're going to get blessings. If you speak curses, that's what you're going to get. And one thing that made it clear that Jesus was the Son of God is because he exercised authority that didn't anybody else have. Nobody else had it. He had the authority. He cast out demons using his authority. Mark 1:27. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." He spoke it with his mouth and his tongue. Matthew 8:16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. He healed all the sick with his spoken word again. Luke 7:7, "Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." And in John 5:8, Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." He did it with the spoken word. Jesus has been given authority over everything. Matthew 28:18. Listen to this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Well, listen to me. Are we the body of Christ? We are the body of Christ. We have the same power. God gave it to Jesus. We're the body of Jesus right now. Jesus said to heal the sick in Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. That's our job. You know, you need to know that Jesus didn't tell us to pray and ask God to heal somebody. He told us to go out there and do it. He told that one guy, he said, rise up and take your bed and get on out of here. Walk on out of here. And in Acts, let's go to Acts. He gave the people there. He gave the disciples that. Acts 3:6. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I did that to a lady out there at Lone Oak County Fairgrounds one time. I told you about it. She came up. Her daughter was pushing her in the wheelchair. I said, when's the last time you walked, Mama? She said, it's been a long time, too long. I said, you ready to come up out of that wheelchair? She said, yeah. I said, well, in the name of Jesus, come out. And she stood right up. She before the day was out, she was pushing her daughter around in that wheelchair. Praise God. That's the power of God. That's the power he's given us. In Luke 9:1, he gave the disciples his authority. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. What does all leave out? They don't leave anything out. All devils and to cure diseases. Authority is exercised when there is a right to exercise it. They wasn't praying. They wasn't asking God to heal the people. Because they had the authority themselves to heal, and they were taking it and running with it, with the spoken word. They knew their authority in Christ. Now, I do want to say this, that prayer can heal somebody. Don't get me wrong. James 5:14-15 tells us that, to call on the elders, you know, and anoint them with oil and pray for them, and God will heal them. But I'm just telling you, you yourself have the authority to command that healing on somebody. Mark 16:17-18, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't say they might recover. It says they shall recover. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living waters. Verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And even Peter's shadow healed people. Y'all remember that? Peter's shadow, they thought, was the shadow. I think it was the anointing of God that did it. Acts 5:15, insomuch that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that as Peter came by, at the least his shadow might overshadow them and heal them. Whoo, glory to God. Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Well, God don't do that anymore. What it says right here, it said heal the sick. Jesus was commanding us. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Luke 9:1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. Not just some, all of them. Y'all, we got the authority of God behind us. We're standing instead of Jesus. Luke 10 and 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And you know what? Jesus gave that authority out, didn't he? Mark chapter 13:34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Jesus was given that authority. We already went over that. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We're part of Jesus now. We got Jesus living in us. And if we got Jesus living in us, we got the same power. Praise God. He gave the disciples power. Luke 10 and 17, he gave them to the 70 disciples. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name, through the name of Jesus. He said that authority that Jesus gives his people is not to be used in their name, but in Jesus' name, which just means his nature, character, and authority. We are to stand in that authority with Jesus. You know what? It's real, real cool about this. And I like what this guy says about this. He says to use somebody's authority through their name is quite an honor. It's like being able to go to the bank and draw out $1 million on behalf of a wealthy businessman. Just think about it. God has given us the right to go to the person that's needing help and to be able to help them, be able to that God would heal them, cleanse them, deliver them, set them free. Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Mark 13:34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. And he gave that authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch again. Okay, well that's what faith is. That's what we're talking about here. And there's a bunch of more scriptures that y'all have heard time and time again about faith and our authority in Christ. And that's, we're going to need it. We're all going to need it. Praise God. Anybody got anything they'd like to add? Y'all look bored.
No, I'm just thinking about the mechanics of it all. You know, it's just sometimes, you know, you wonder, like, all we basically have to do is get somebody to agree with us. And we can get, and then we have the right to proceed, intercede for them and command the healing. And I think that's kind of what you did with that woman with the wheelchair. You said, Mom, are you ready to walk? She said, yeah. And you said, okay. And you took it right then. And you took that little thing that she's ready to go with and walk. And you said, in the name of Jesus, come out of the wheelchair. I'm thinking that's all we have to do is just get people to agree with us. We don't have to get them to fully understand everything, do we? I'm trying to skirt them.
Well, they understand that, you know, that the power of God can make them do that. That's right. If you can get them to agree, you want to do it right then. You capture the moment, you know.
Right.
We did that. I did that to many people. I'd ask them, I said, you ready to do this or you ready to do that or whatever. I asked two old ladies came in one night and one was on a walker and the other one was trying to help her get along. You know, she was hobbling too. She had a cane. And, went up there to her and said, what's wrong with y'all? You know, I just been Michael. I said, what's wrong with y'all? She said, I got this or I got that. I don't even remember what it was, but she said, I said, I can't walk without this walker. She said, but I'd heard that y'all had some people who believed in this church. I said, we all believe. She said, would you pray for me? I said, yeah, you ready to get healed? She said, yeah. I said, well, get up in the name of Jesus. And she stood right, no, I'm sorry, let me back up. The Lord had me, we were teaching the people in the church. Our Lord had me raise her feet up, and one leg was shorter than the other one. And we commanded that leg to come out. And when it did, I said, now get up in the name of Jesus. I said, and then run around this church where she started walking. I said, didn't I tell you to run? I said, come on now, get up and pick them up, mama, let's go. And she took off and she started running. You know what? Didn't even have to pray for the other one. She saw that girl was healed. She jumped up and she went right in behind her. Both of them went to running around the sanctuary. Praise God. Well, of course, the party was on then, you know. God, that's the great thing about when God heals one person, everybody else gets healed because they see God's going to do it. Did that in West Memphis one time to a little kid, four-year-old boy. Had his poor old feet was like that, you know. Mom was just going to pray for him, wanted us to pray for him. Said, the doctors wanted to break his legs two or three times in order to get the feet straight, you know. It's going to cost a bunch of money. And we asked her, you know, is it, you want God to do it or you want him to go through it? No, I won't. Bless God, I want God to do it. It don't cost no money when God does it, you know. And so we prayed for that little boy, and God just cracked his bones and brought them feet out there about as straight as an arrow. And he took off running. And he took off running, and the people in there went silly, boy. I'm telling you, the party was on. Everybody had their kids up there lining up to get prayed for. It was awesome. And I'll tell you a little secret. That boy, his feet started going back like this, you know, back like this. He was walking. He was used to walking like that, you know. And then he started walking like that. She went over. She jerked a knot. And that boy said, don't you ever do that again in the name of Jesus. She said, you straighten them legs out. He'd straighten them legs out. Off he went. Back straight again. Oh, it was. And, of course, everybody in there that wanted prayer got prayed for and was healed. It was that awesome. Okay, I'm through. God is so loving to people, you know. His grace just overshadows anything that we can mess up. You know what I'm talking about? And it's nothing that we do. As long as you give the glory to God, I couldn't heal a gnat. But I knew it was God. I knew it was God. Praise the Lord. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to add before we close out tonight? Anybody got anything anymore? Go ahead.
I just want to ask you. You talked about the boy. I mean, you said you prayed for him. Did you command his legs to heal them?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, I was kind of
commanded those legs to come out and be straightened in the name of Jesus. We'd already done it before to a 13-year-old girl and saw God did the same thing. We knew it did.
You didn't actually pray for it. You just commanded it, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what I call praying for him. I just commanded those feet to be straightened out in the name of Jesus, you know. And they did. Be restored as new. And, man, they just started, came right out, crack them, pop, and all that. Yeah, Leah.
I don't know if you saw it, but Miss Pearl of Value put on the chat. She's asking a question if there's anything about the Jezebel spirit. And I just want to bring that to your attention.
Let me see what she said here. Anything on the Jezebel spirit? I can tell you it's a bad spirit. Pearl of Value. We've had quite a number of dealings with Jezebel spirit. It's a spirit that can wreck lives, and it has. Is that something you want us to pray about?
Yes.
Is that something that you're having to deal with?
I think so. I think so.
Okay. You believe when we pray it's going to happen, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. In the name of Jesus right now, we take authority over that Jezebel spirit and we command it to go from Pearl right now in the name of Jesus. And all corresponding demons that are associated with it, we command you to go too right now in Jesus' name. You go from her in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that she is free from that spirit in Jesus' name. The spirit of confusion, you go too. Anybody else hearing anything? Spirit of rebellion, you go right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Woo, my, my, my. Pearl, how you feel?
I feel good.
I feel better anyway. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You've been freed, girl. Now you start thanking God and praising God for it because you've been freed up in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo, my, my, my.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let me ask you a question, Pearl, while I still got you here. I'm about out of time, but that's okay. Are you having trouble with fear?
Yes.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, I'm commanding fear to go from the spirit of fear. You go from her right now in Jesus' name. You go. You don't have any right there. Pearl is a child of God and she's not under the curse. And you go from her right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in Pearl. We praise you, Father, for all the work you're doing in all of us, Lord. We thank you for the authority that you've given us and that the devil has to listen to us when we speak and command. When we command them to do something, they have to do exactly as we tell them. And Father, we thank you for that command or that authority that you've given us. And we know it's not us. We know that it's you, Lord, that's working through us that cleanses and heals and sets free, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that were answered tonight in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that Blake is healed. We thank you, Lord, that Pearl is delivered. And we thank you, Lord, for all the other things that we've prayed for, Father, are coming to pass. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us tonight as we go our separate ways. And give us a good night's sleep, or as in the case of Joe and Nora, Lord, let them have a blessed day today in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for until the next time we come together, you're going to protect us and provide for us. Lord, give us some dreams and visions about the things that are happening, fixing to happen in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for placing love in our hearts for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's talk about the two witnesses Thursday night. Y'all want to do that? Okay.